I do understand, I think the word got out. Even the pastor left town. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, you know. I'm probably going to stand up. I'll just be probably a whole lot better, to be honest with you. It's been a while since I pastored a church for 6.5 years. It's been a while since I preached, and that's nobody's fault but my own. I've had several invitations, but have not taken them until Carlton asked me to. And when he told me he had started this series in Discovering a Joy-Filled Life in the book of Philippians, I couldn't help but think about, I guess, my favorite verse 14 years ago became Philippians 4:7, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but right now I just want to try to bring a couple other thoughts to you. The title of the message today would be Indescribable Peace. Indescribable Peace. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the Lord has an indescribable peace available to you. And I just trust that you would draw on that peace, you would enjoy that peace. The word indescribable means too unusual or extreme or indefinite to be adequately described. Words can't describe the peace of God that He has for us today. Just can't. The English language does not carry the words. Webster says peace is a state of tranquility or quiet. A state of tranquility or quiet. And it's often used with the word rest. And you know, when I first thought about this message, I told Carlton, and I'm sitting back here and I'm thinking, this is probably what I'm going to preach. Because he had already asked me to preach, and I said, if you don't mind, and I'm jumping way ahead of where he's at in the book of Philippians, but it's okay. I felt in my heart this was God wanted me to share with you today. I thought about the peace. Is we mainly think about that for the most difficult times. You know, a death or terminal illness or something. But then I got to thinking, you know, it's deeper than that. It covers a whole lot more than just those tragic times. Yes, we need God's peace in those difficult times, in those tragic times, but if we only enjoy it then, I'm afraid we're missing out on a whole lot more that our Heavenly Father has for us. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Philippians 4:9 that we will have here says, "The God of peace will be with you." So what I want us to see today is our first point would be peace for everyday living. Peace for everyday living. Not just for those tragic times, but what about everyday living? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, do you have that, Deanna? I'm sorry. I didn't. I'm just going to read it to you. I didn't tell her to make a slide, and that's my fault. "And the peace of God which let me start in verse 6. Be anxious or careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Folks, everyday living. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing covers little and big. It covers everything. Amen? I mean, if we're not careful, we just get so wrapped up in the big things. But I'm concerned about the little things. I was out of the swimming pool business for probably 13 years or so. And I started back to work with Carlton on February the 1st. And I'm going to be honest with you. At times, Bethany can tell you, it's been overwhelming. I thought, Lord, what have I done? And trying to keep everybody headed in the right direction. And I've kind of lost my peace. Larry, me and Carlton ate lunch with you, and he says, "Boy, you guys must have a super duper cell phone battery, because our phones are ringing." And, we keep a charger close by. But the Lord's blessing our socks off. He really is, and I don't take that lightly. And can I throw this in, just chasing one rabbit trail? Is he blessing us because we're good guys or we're good children? Why, Lord, let me ask you a question. Could we ever be good enough to warrant God's blessings? Just think that through. That mentality we need to throw out the window. Amen. We could never be good enough. It's His righteousness, His goodness. It's because we're His children. I love my children to death. I have one of my children here. I have a granddaughter here today. And I love them. Words can't describe. And I don't bless them because they're good. I want to bless them because I love them. They're my children. And that's the same way with our Heavenly Father. Life can be overwhelming. It's been overwhelming for me at times, just in the poobiness and in other things. Not just that, but other things. Life will be overwhelming for you. But friend, I want to tell you, enjoy the peace that God gives you. Enjoy the peace that God has for you. You don't really have to pray and say, God, would you give me peace? He's already given it to you. Would you just enjoy it? Enjoy what He's already given us. 1 Corinthians, we'll see this slide, 7:15 says, God has called us to peace. God has called us to peace. Now, friend, I want you to notice this verse. It didn't say God makes us enjoy the peace. It said God has called us to peace. Now, I can call my children in to eat supper, but if they don't come, they're not going to enjoy the meal, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. God's not going to force you to enjoy the peace that He has for you. But we're very foolish not to enjoy that peace that He has for us. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also are called in one body, and be thankful. Let it rule. Can I ask you this morning, what's ruling in your heart in the everyday life, in the tragic times? What's ruling in your heart? Is it worrying? The Word of God tells us, He says, don't be worrying. Don't be anxious. Don't be worrying about things. Is that ruling in your heart, or is peace ruling? Wow. Bethany, don't answer Bethany. She would be glad. And Michael, I hope he's back there and he don't answer either. I'm telling you, there's times that maybe the peace is not ruling in my life at work because things get overwhelming at times. And I've had to stop and say, okay, breathe in. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And that same thing happens in everyday life, in other areas of life. Just as rejoice is a choice, peace is a choice. Will you choose peace or will you choose worrying? Amen. If our co-workers and if this world sees us walking in peace when things go south, friend, it'll speak to them. It'll speak to them. They will notice. We're talking about indescribable peace, too unusual or too extreme or indefinite to be adequately described. There's no words to describe the peace of God that He has for us. Joy is based on what happened in us. And friend, peace is based on what happened in us, not what's happening to us. The same thing with peace and joy. Now I want to look at the tragic times. Not just peace for everyday living, but peace for the tragic times. On September the 12th, 1984, that's been a long time ago, the Lord blessed Sharon and I with a little baby boy. His name, we named him Adam Keith Rivers. On December the 2nd, 1986, the Lord blessed us with a beautiful little baby girl named Amy Faye Rivers. And by the way, she was born on my mother-in-law's birthday, December the 2nd, Sharon's mom. And in our minds, our family was complete. We had a boy and we had a girl. That was kind of where we wanted to be, and we were happy. And we really didn't want any more children. I'm just being honest with you. Then on 1990, November 26, before that, Sharon got the news in 1990 that she was pregnant with another child. And we weren't jumping with joy. But on November the 26th, 1990, that little girl sitting right back there, which is 26 years old now, the Lord blessed us with another beautiful little girl, Anna Kay Rivers. Now this will all start to make a little more sense the further we go. On March the 26th, 2003, was the most tragic day in our family's life. Can we get that picture, Deanna? You see, that's my little 16-year-old girl. She had a single car wreck, and she left this world, but I know where she's at. She's in heaven. Yes. Now, I want you to remember a couple of things. There'll never be a wedding. There'll never be a graduation. We'll never have grandchildren from her. And you know, a lot of these things run through your mind. Now, all of a sudden, Anna, which is about 12 years old, we really understand what a blessing the Lord blessed us with. You see, we weren't really looking for any more children, but the Lord blessed us with another little girl to kind of help fill that void. Isn't our Father good? Amen. You know that song, Good, Good Father? He's good, folks, I'm telling you. You see, a lot of times you may have to look a little deeper. Sometimes when tragedy strikes or whatever's going on, did he know this was going to happen? Sure he did. Sure he did. But I'm living proof today he'll see us through whatever comes our way, and my family's living proof. Please hear what I'm going to say. The things I'm going to tell you is not me or my family's goodness. I'm not bragging on what I've done. If you leave here with that mentality, then you've left here you've heard the wrong thing. But I just want to tell you what the Lord's done. Amen. You see, our family's world was turned upside down. I remember telling Sharon, if I'm not mistaken, we were at the crash site waiting on a helicopter to come and pick up Amy. She was still alive at this time to take her. They were going to take her to a hospital in Atlanta. And then it seemed like when the helicopter did land, it took them forever. They were having a lot of trouble getting her stabilized to ride in a helicopter. I told her, I said, if we've ever trusted God, we need to trust Him now. And can I give you that advice? When things go south in your life, when tragedy strikes, you just trust Him. You lean on Him. You look to Him for your strength and your help. He'll see you through whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter what it is. He's promised us in His Word. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Your friends may walk out on you, but friend, your Heavenly Father's never going to walk out on you. Little did I know, years before this happened, and she, by the way, she died in the helicopter on the way to the hospital, or after she got to the hospital, one of the two. Little did I know before this happened, the Lord was preparing me years ahead, teaching me things that I had no idea. Remember, we talked about rejoice is a choice. Carlton's mentioned that I don't know how many times. Peace is a choice. When my oldest brother's wife, Lemuel, his wife, was killed hit by a drunk driver, she was killed in that car wreck. I saw him enjoy the indescribable peace that God's got for us, folks. I sat in the funeral and watched him raise his hands and praise God. And just I saw him never bitter at the fella that was driving the vehicle that was intoxicated. Was he grieving? Oh, you better know he was grieving. I know his heart was torn out. But I saw the peace of God in action. Can I tell you this morning, life is full of choices. We've got all kind of choices. Life is full of choices. When tragedy strikes, what will you do? Will you draw on the peace that our Heavenly Father has for us, or will we turn to other things? Jacob do you remember Jacob in the Old Testament? He was the father of Joseph. Joseph's brothers, if you remember the story, sold him into slavery. Then they told their dad, Jacob, that he was killed by a wild animal. So Jacob in Genesis, could we see that slide, Deanna? And all his sons and all his daughters, his brothers told Jacob, says, he's dead. All right, look at this verse. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I shall go into the grave to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. What was he doing? He was refusing the comfort. He was refusing the peace that God has for us. And friend, I'm going to tell you, you and I can refuse that peace. We cannot walk in it. We can shun away from it. Whatever you, ever how you want to say it. Is there weeping when there's a tragedy? Sure there is. But there's a peace that passes all understandings that'll keep our hearts and minds. It'll keep us, folks. I've enjoyed it. It's available. I enjoyed it. My family enjoyed it. Did we hurt? Yes, we hurt. Did we cry? Yes, we cried. I'm not telling you something out of a fairy tale book. I'm telling you what I've walked through, what we've lived through. There's a peace from God that'll keep you out of the insane asylum. It'll keep you in a sane mind and going forward in life. You won't be able to understand it. Others, they won't understand it. But you can enjoy it. Enjoy that peace that the Lord has for us. Remember, peace is based on what happened in us, not to us. Just like rejoice and joy. But we have a choice. Do we enjoy it? Do we walk in it? Or do we do like Jacob and we refuse the comfort? Do we refuse the peace the Lord has for us? I will never forget the outpouring of love from others during this time. Not just from our Heavenly Father, but from Him through others. Please, this is huge. Last Sunday night, which was the 14-year anniversary, I have a little office in my house, and I'm sitting at my desk, and in my bottom right-hand drawer, I have a stack of cards, which I brought today. And this stack of cards, I don't know why I've kept these all these years. That's the cards, and I don't know if it's all of them or not, but this is the cards that we received during our time of tragedy. And I'm going to tell you, it was real interesting. I started thumbing through and reading, and I'm telling you, I call this a bundle of love. Please hear me. We've got opportunities all through life to share God's love, to love others, to allow Him to love them through us. And that's what every one of these cards in this bundle of love represents. His folks took time to come, or they took time to send a card. And I read some of them, and I'm going to tell you, boy, bless my heart. I didn't read them all because it took me a little while, but it blessed my heart. That's what they were doing to Jacob. But he refused to be comforted. This is huge, folks. I'm telling you, it's huge. Don't refuse. Enjoy the peace God has for us. It's indescribable. And you know what was kind of funny? Joseph wasn't dead anyway. He was mourning for nothing. Isn't that kind of wild? Hey, Amy's alive more today than she was 14 years ago. Amen. She's not lost. We know where she's at. You've not lost your loved ones. They just graduated. You see, the Lord can take something so tragic and use it for His glory and His good. Joseph said, he told his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." You remember that? He told his brothers when he finally met up with them years later. He says, "You meant it for evil and God." See, God took this bad situation and flipped it around, trumped it, if you will, and used Joseph to take care of that whole family during the famine. Study that out sometimes if you're not familiar with that story. I remember going to the school sometime after Amy got killed and was talking to the counselor. And I don't remember why I was there. I just remember talking to her. And there were two other deaths that same year, earlier that year, in the same school that had been killed. And this was her words. She said, "This one just seems different." You see, that peace that we were enjoying was speaking. Please hear me. When we're walking in that peace that the Lord has for us, it'll speak to others. It'll speak to them. I won't ever forget that. I didn't understand the peace. The words can't describe it. But we were enjoying that. And they could see it. And it wasn't us. Please hear me. It wasn't us. It was Him. Amen. It was Him. Were we hurting? Well, yes, you know we were. But in the middle of all that, I remember the Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I couldn't help but think about the old saying, this peace will blow your socks off. You know, you've had people say, that'll blow your socks off. This peace that I'm talking about will blow your socks off. It'll blow your mind. It'll be there when you think it won't be or can't be. It wasn't our strength. It was His strength. The peace of God. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Let's see that. The Lord said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's given it to us. Would you enjoy it? Would you walk in it? You see, life is full of choices. Full of choices. Now, are we going to choose to walk in this peace that the Lord has for us? Or are we going to not walk in it? Folks, the Lord has a power available to us today. The Word of God says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and He lives in us. So therefore, we have peace. But are we walking it? Are we enjoying it? We've got a choice. Try to handle it ourselves. Let me know how that works out for you. I done been there and tried that. It didn't work out too good for me. I don't know about you, but I got a feeling you're going to wind up in the same shape I was. And you may even come to the place where in those times, in those tragic times, or maybe just in everyday life, you say, Lord, I don't like what's going on. That's okay. I sure don't understand it. That's okay. I don't understand it. But we trust Him. We got a choice. Will we trust Him? You see, sometimes I'm afraid an element of pride steps in. And it kind of hinders us from leaning on the Lord because, you see, we get this thing, well, I can handle this. I mean, am I right? I think that would be the case. Sometimes, have you ever seen anybody that wouldn't accept anybody to help them? And it's because of pride sometimes. And that's not a good place to be, folks. Don't let pride hinder you from sometimes we just need to crawl up in our Father's lap and just let Him hold us and love on us and fellowship with Him. Don Keithley this week, if you're familiar with him, he's on Facebook, and he said sometimes he was talking about God was saying, people were saying God doesn't speak to them. He says we need to have some quiet time just to sit, don't pray, don't really just sit and just meditate and just quiet time and let Him speak to us. Crawl up in His lap and lean our head on His breast. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Boy, that never dawned on me. So I heard somebody bring that out a couple years ago. He was saying that because he knew how much God loved him. He knew how much Jesus loved him. If you're not careful, you don't understand that. He just got to the place he knew. And friend, we need to get to the place where we understand how much our Lord loves us. Not based on what we do or don't do. I'm telling you, I got a lot of regrets in life, things I wished I'd have done different. But that's okay, that song. Tell your heart to beat again. It's okay. Today's a new day. Beginning, let that word wash over you. Just, Lord, I can't change yesterday, but I just want to, we'll start all over again today. He's the God of new beginnings. Crawl up in His lap and just lean your head on His breast and let Him speak to you. Enjoy the closeness that He has for us. We get so busy. I get so busy in life sometimes that I don't take time to do that. But we need to do that. Just be held. Go ahead, Dan.
I want to say something. Go ahead, and go the ahead. Fact that I have a microphone kind of took over here. I don't know if Keith knows this, but about a month before this tragedy happened in their life, my nephew took his own life about a month before this happened. And I had a hard time forgiving God for that. But watching his family go through this gave me a different understanding. And it really gave me that peace. And I don't think he knew that. But just watching them suffer through this and how they handled it and the peace that they had was amazing. And it really did help me. And I want to thank you and your family for that.
Hold it all together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. On a storm, you wonder if our love is still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. That not a tear is wasted. In time, you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be here. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be here. Just be here. Just be here. Storm is where you'll find me, and where you are, I'll hold your heart, I'll hold your heart. Come to me, find your rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. World's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Just be held.